Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me today. If you've already been listening, if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. And thank you to those of you who helped us have a record month in the month of October. The last day was actually a record day. Wow. I'm so happy to know that you guys are using the website, and you're enjoying it, you're benefiting from it. You got to be benefiting from it, because we actually had, on the last day, we had a 10-to-1 ratio page views to visitors. And that tells me that you're coming there and you're spending time and you're benefiting from all the resources that we make available. And I appreciate that very much. And those of you who subscribe to the newsletter, thank you for that. Those of you who continue to, that comes every week by email. You can do that on the website. You can subscribe free, by the way. And also the blog, which comes to you every day. If you subscribe, you can go visit it as often as you want. But if you want us to send it to you, which we will be glad to do, that comes by a really simple syndication, RSS technology, which we can help you get on the website. You can find the blog on the homepage, and you can also go to jimsblog.biz. And so check that out when you get a chance. I hope you'll take advantage of that, and I think it'll help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And it's all free, thanks to our great sponsors. Richard DeKayser is our guest and our good buddy. He's Senior Vice President Chief Economist for National City Bank, and he's here to help me conduct our FedWatch show. Richard, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Thanks for coming back in just a week. Richard was here last week when we talked about the nomination of Ben Bernanke to replace Mr. Greenspan, a very important position, and I'm sure he's pretty excited about this. You still think he's up to the task?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, the man's not been tested, but that's by definition what happens to every incoming Fed chairman. It's a very unique position, and there really isn't a lot of training ground for it. So I think markets are going to look to him in his early months and perhaps early years for proof of his abilities. But I think he brings as much skill into the position as any of the other contenders out there, and that's about as much as one can reasonably expect from the new candidate.
Do you think he is? I'm sure. What little I know about him, he's not going to try to make any changes quickly.
Right.
But because I think he has that much respect and admiration and appreciation for Mr. Greenspan and his hand at the helm of the Fed over the last 18 years. But, you know, he is a guy. He does have his own ideas. He's going to want to put his mark on this Fed fairly soon. What do you think that will look like whenever that happens?
Well, I think you're right. He's going to start out really slow. He said as much in his brief acceptance remarks, is that his continuity was his first priority. And I think that's natural. A Fed central banker doesn't want to rile the market, so I think they need to start off with just stability. But over time, it's pretty clear to me that he's going to shift the Federal Reserve in the direction of what we call more transparency. And there's several aspects to this, including accelerated release of their meeting minutes, including public release of their forecast, including a explicit inflation target. These are all things he has written extensively on and strongly advocated. I happen to agree with him on all counts.
Now, up to now, transparency for Mr. Greenspan, his Fed has meant that whenever they tell us what they're doing today, they telegraph what might happen in the next meeting, depending on how things turn out. That's been what I thought was the transparency up to now. You're saying that they're going to do more. For example, the meeting minutes have been taking like 60 days to get released from any given meeting. By the way, folks, you're right. I don't have a life. That's why I know all this stuff. That's been, you're saying they're going to accelerate that. Now, how is that going to benefit anybody?
Well, it used to be once upon a time, not so long ago, going back about 3 or 4 years, the Federal Reserve used to release the minutes to its meetings 7 or 8 weeks after the meeting occurred. And so folks like me would pick up those notes and read them, and we'd know what they thought roughly 2 months after they had those thoughts.
Right.
Now, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, they moved that up to about a three-week lag, and
okay.
it could be tightened up even further. Now, why does that make any difference? In these minutes, in these notes, are essentially the thoughts and predilections of the various people engaged in setting interest rate policy.
All 19 of the attendees, right? Not just the 12 voters.
Yes, and it's, you know, it's not very specific. I mean, it doesn't say who says what, but it will say, you know, a majority felt this way, a minority felt that way.
Oh, it doesn't tell that if there was one dissent, as there was once a few times when Bob McTeer dissented on raising rates back in like 1999 or 2000, they don't say that person dissented?
No, they will. They will provide that information, but more generally, it's going to give the sentiments of the group, and that's real useful to folks like me. We're trying to see where they're taking us.
Trying to run a business, like me too. Stand by to Winnie Till. We'll be right back with our good friend Richard DeKayser. He's with National City Bank. Stay with us. We're back at 17 Till. That's Robert Craig on blues guitar. Doesn't get any better than that, folks. If you like blues, Robert Cray's the best. I know I've said that before. I said that last hour, and I believe it. I like blues.
Richard. Kenny Burrell's right up there.
Richard DeKayser likes blues. Who's your man?
Kenny Burrell.
I don't know him.
Well, we'll give him.
We need to have a battle of the blues guitarists here, Richard, one of these days.
All right.
I'll swap CDs with you. I'll send you one of my Robert Cray CDs, and you'll have to send me one of your guys' CDs.
Done.
Richard DeKayser is Senior Vice President and Chief Economist at National City Bank Corp., and they're in the north. They're in the Midwest. They're across Ohio, Michigan, Indiana. What else?
Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Missouri, and I hope I haven't left anyone out.
Growing like a weed. What do you got, 1,300 branches? And
We're about 1,200 branches, close to 2,000 ATMs. We are the largest small business lender in our major market area and in most states in which we do business. So.
And that's nationalcity.com?
Nationalcity.com. That's
check it out when you get a chance, folks. And those of you who are listening all over the Midwest to the show, many of you are, and check them out when you get a chance. Okay, Richard, let's talk. We're talking about the new Fed guy, and and now is he going to? He's not part of the Fed anymore. He was one of the governors.
That's right.
And he's off. But is he going to be invited to the meetings now until he gets? Of course, he hasn't been approved by the Senate yet. How long will that take?
Well, he was first appointed to the Federal Reserve by George Bush about 3 years ago, and he served up until this June, at which time he took a job as the chairman of the Council of Economic Advisers, which is basically the president's top economist.
Right.
He will not be allowed to attend Federal Reserve meetings until confirmed by the Senate, and that'll probably happen somewhere around the December-January timeframe.
So it really won't benefit him. I mean, there really won't be a meeting after the December meeting. I think they got one more after today. This year, the next one will be when Mr. Greenspan leaves.
That's right.
He really won't be able to sit in on any meetings then, will he?
Not until March of next year. So he's got to wait.
Well, of course, he'll be there in January 31st, won't he?
No.
He won't?
Well, I don't know. You know, this is a funny thing. Fed Chairman Greenspan's last day is January 31st. It's long been tradition that Fed governors do not attend their last meeting. He's made an exception to that. So he will preside over the meeting on the 31st.
Oh.
So technically, Ben Bernanke will take the position.
Wow.
And literally, we're talking about what hour of the day they will hand the baton off. But I know for sure it will not happen before 2:15 in the afternoon on that day because Alan Greenspan has told us.
On the 31st of January. Yeah.
So effectively, let's say February 1.
I got you.
He's running
so Mr. Greenspan, they're going to have to pry his 84-year-old fingers off that gavel, aren't they?
Well,
he's holding on to the last. This is a man who loves his job, and I admire that. Okay, let's move on and talk a little bit about I want to talk about what you think about the economy. Now, I've got your forecast in front of me. By the way, folks, if you go to nationalcity.com/economist, is that it?
Economics.
Economics. Nationalcity.com/economics. You can find Richard's part of the website where you can get his financial market outlook. You can download it for free. He'll be glad to let you have that. Thank you for that, Richard, for making that available. But you are you're a little bit of a being a little bit of a bull on the economy, Richard. I always knew that you weren't a negative Nelly, but I would have thought under all the circumstances you might have been a little more cautious, but you're stepping out there with your projections.
Yeah, that's right. I think, you know, I've been pretty much in the pack for the past 3 or 4 months, but I think that there's a little separation occurring now. I am a tad bit more optimistic. And 2006, I think, is going to look a lot like 2005 in terms of GDP growth, somewhere in the 3.7, 3.8% territory as we're starting to get final numbers on this year wrapped up. And people are sort of puzzled by this because, after all, the Fed is, as we all know, raising interest rates, and the logical conclusion that people draw is that things will slow down.
And you simultaneously are predicting that the Fed funds rate is going to go all the way to 4.5 this year.
That's right. So I think we've got more Fed funds increases coming down the pike. Now, let me tell you why I'm still pretty bullish on the economy. Number one, interest rates today, believe it or not, and I know this is very hard for people to swallow given where we've been over the past couple of years, are still relatively low in a historical context. You go back to the second half of the 90s, we never, ever, ever saw the federal funds rate at 4.5%.
You're right.
At its lowest, 4.75%.
You're right.
So there was something else going on then to provide the economy with growth in the 90s that was able to overcome those interest rates, and the answer basically was the stock market, which was creating wealth. And
well, and the economy was overheating, too,
right.
without real justifications. A lot of people had suspended the laws of economics.
Absolutely. So what's going on today? Well, we've had, over the past 2 years, an enormous drag on economic growth presented by rising energy prices, and it continues to this day. Roughly, we've lost somewhere in the neighborhood of 0.75% of GDP growth in 2004 and 2005. Now, if energy prices peak out, and I'm actually a little bit more optimistic, but let me make the conservative case, if we see no further increases in energy prices, which is exactly what the financial markets are telling us right now, that means that this drag, substantial drag, of the past 2 years goes away entirely.
Mm-hmm.
So all the growth lost to higher rising energy prices will no longer be the headwind it has.
And it'll rush back in, won't it?
Well, you know, if we get any kind of even a modest decline in energy prices,
yeah,
then it will be a tailwind. So my growth outlook for 2006, it's not irrationally exuberant, but it's certainly a bit on the optimistic.
It's a little bit cold comfort, though, Richard. I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you, but it's a little cold comfort, and it's almost a little bit demented to think that because we don't have $3 a gallon gas, but we have $2.30 a gallon gas, that's actually a good thing. You know?
Call it demented if you like. It's the way the numbers shift.
I hear you. No, I'm not saying you're demented. I'm saying the way we're going to feel about it is a little demented. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're going to find out what Richard thinks the Fed's going to do today. I already know. You'll know after these messages. It's Tintel. Stay with us.
She was a bebop baby.
Wisdom from the Atlanta Rhythm Section, folks. I don't have to tell you about that, small business owners. I know you know all about that. You do it or die. You gut it out. You make it happen. And that's the reason why you're my heroes. I know how you do. I know how you do what you do, and you continue to amaze everybody around the world. And I don't want you to ever think, I don't want you to ever forget the fact that you are critically important, to not only to your community, to your customers and your employees and their families, but to your marketplace, to your state, to your country, and to the world. And somebody who I know agrees with me 100% of that is our good friend Richard DeKayser, who's with us right now. Richard, I know you agree with me, don't you?
Amen to that.
Yeah. We're talking about the Fed and what they're going to do today. You believe, and this didn't take a real big leap of faith today, Richard, for you to predict that the Fed's going to raise rates again.
No, well, that's right. I'll tell you, I think I'm becoming obsolete as the Fed becomes more and more transparent.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. What, are you going to have a job after all this transparency happens?
Well, if that's okay, it would be, you know, it'd be an acceptable loss.
hey, Richard, you'll always have a job here.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, again, the Federal Reserve has been very clear. At their last meeting, they used the code words that signify a quarter point increase coming down the pike. That is, they describe monetary policy as, quote, accommodative, meaning interest rates are low, and they described their removal of that accommodation as, quote, at a measured pace.
Mm-hmm.
So, this
is because they're worried about inflation.
Well, they're not terribly worried that inflation's out of the bottle, so to speak, but they want to at least bring the interest rate environment back to one that's been more consistent with its historic norms, so that they prevent that problem from becoming developed.
How much of their actions right now do you think is predicated on the concern for a real estate bubble?
I think that is, you know, it's people always ask the question, what's motivating them? And I truly believe the decision makers at the Federal Reserve are considering a vast array of considerations, from domestic growth, particular markets, the housing market, the stock market, as well as the global economy. So I do think that concern about a housing bubble is one of the items, and it'll vary from, you know, among the various members of the committee, but I think that they will, that is one of the areas that's concerning some of them.
Well, and that bothers me. I mean, I understand that they feel that way, but you and I both know there is no national real estate bubble. There are only pockets of real estate bubbles like in the big cities. There probably is a bubble in Phoenix and Atlanta and Miami, and I know there's one in Washington, D.C., maybe New York, other places like that. But even if any of those pop, we've seen this happen before, it's not going to take the country down like the SNL scandal did of the 80s, and so I feel like they're being a little bit overwrought about that. What do you think?
I generally agree with you, except for the last part. I think their concerns are a little bit warranted, and let me tell you why. We've actually done a lot of research on this issue of our housing markets overvalued or undervalued, and our best judgment is, as of today, or more specifically the second quarter of this year, about 32% of the dollar value of single-family housing is really, really overvalued and at risk of correction.
Across the country?
Yeah. A year ago, that number was 8%.
Mm.
So we've gone from 8 to 32, roughly.
Not just in some of the hot spots. You're talking about Sheboygan and Des Moines and places like that.
Well, I'll tell you, here in the Midwest, you see virtually none of that anywhere. But
right.
You're right. You named all the likely suspects. But the concern is, if you can go from 8 to 32% in a year, you can go from 32 to 50, and now you're in hot water. So again, the Federal Reserve is always thinking proactively, acting preemptively, and that's why I think, even though if you were to poll them today, I don't think they would say, we think there's a major risk. They want to try and prevent a major risk from evolving.
Right. Well, the Fed is getting into the area where they're starting to irritate me with their interest rates, because small business owners are now going to have to borrow money at the almost 10, if not over 10% rate. We always borrow money over prime. Prime is going to be 7 after today.
Yeah.
But Richard, just to wrap up your comments quickly, you believe that petroleum is going to come down, the economy is going to stay strong, but we need to budget for higher interest. Is that basically the essence of what you've been saying?
It is, and it remains the case. And we've got good news coming this morning. Let me just get this in real quick.
10
o'clock.
All right.
The President's Commission on Tax Reform is going to release publicly and to the Treasury Secretary their recommendations. So this will be big in the business news for the
right.
months to come.
And you and I will be talking about it in the months to come as well. Thank you, Richard,
absolutely,
for being here. Good job today,
my
as
pleasure.
Always.
Take care.
NationalCity.com, right? And then nationalcities.com/economics to get to Richard.
That's my site, but
all right.
The corporate site is where you go for business.
Thanks, Richard. See you next time. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.